because it's the U.S. playing Canada, obviously there's a rivalry before it even starts, and so the tempo will be at a different level than you're used to. And these players normally play their way into playing, if that makes any sense. Usually there's 8 exhibition games or something like that, and you play 4 of them. So this is a little different process, obviously, for us.
Yeah, it's a little bit different with a goalie, obviously. I'm not sitting on the bench, talking to him in between shifts and everything. It's a little bit different, but, I'm just happy Carey's out there and having fun. I think it got to a point where, on a personal level, I was happy to see Carey put on the pads again and start smiling, because I know he suffered last year from coming to the rink and not being able to do what he loves every day. So it's more of a personal thing with me and Carey. And obviously, I love seeing him out there on the ice, but I like seeing him happy just as much.
Like, what if he doesn't look good?
Well, that's okay.
Pre-tournament.
Come on.
I don't think that's a possibility whatsoever.
If he walks out of the arena,
hey, here's
it's a
deal.
Good day.
Yeah.
Without a limp.
Hey, here's the deal. As long as he's not structured tonight, he's creative. That's all I care.
Ah, here we go. Structure and creativity. I ain't the structure part, that's for sure. Along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick with you. If you missed it earlier, the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch is back. Melnick, Marinaro, Knuckles, Rod, Gallo, Campbell in its entirety in less than an hour. That, of course, Mike Babcock, head coach of Team Canada, with Perry Price in goal for 60 minutes tonight in Columbus against Max Pacioretty and Team USA.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. 5 locations, with a 6th now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
In Boston, Massachusetts. How are you, Pierre?
I'm very well, Mitch. By the way, before we get going,
yep,
hats off to the people in Quebec City. What a magnificent arena. What a well-attended game. What a great crowd. And that is why the NHL has to go back there. Last night was a snapshot of why they need to go back.
Well, especially if you've got Nathan MacKinnon and Austin Matthews and all of those. I mean, that was like watching the Roadrunner last night.
Yeah, those kids are good. Those kids are good. And Dylan Larkin, you can go down the line. I mean, I've been telling you this for a long time, and I've really felt strongly about it since the 05 lockout, just because of all the different rinks I go to. We've never had, since the Crosby, even go back to the 03 draft, which is the best draft in NHL history, start in 03 and just flow right through to where we are now. We've never had such a constant, steady stream of great young talent come into the league year after year after year. And it's not going away. I can tell you right now, the next year draft is solid, and years after that, going all the way to the 2020 draft, I can tell you, you are in a very good position. Very good position if you're a fan of the NHL.
We will revisit that particular team in a couple of minutes, but back to Quebec City, Pierre. I don't know how the fan base, like, I know they believe, and I think they should believe, that they'll get hockey back one day. They'll get the NHL back one day, but there seems to be this almost like this seesaw effect emotionally. And then last night Bill Daly shows up, which, you know, there's nothing negative about the second guy in charge in the National Hockey League being in the building, whether it's symbolic or not. That was important, I think.
Absolutely. Very well said. I have known Bill a long time, both athletically and professionally. And the thing is that he's a real serious guy. He understands the history and the legacy of hockey in the city of Quebec and in the province of Quebec, but in particular, the city of Quebec. And we've had lots of talks about it over the years. I think anybody that's listened to this show, whether it's for a short period of time or a long period of time, when I am on with you, I am still sick to my stomach that they don't have a team there. And one of the things that has to happen is they just have to make an amazingly strong presentation and get this thing going so they can get a team back, because they deserve one.
And they apparently have a coach and GM in waiting, as you can imagine. A lot of people wanting to hear from Patrick Roy, who dropped the puck for the opening faceoff last night.
You know, it'd be smart, though, for Patrick. Patrick should, I think being a coach GM in the league today is next to impossible. I mean that sincerely. I think what Patrick needs to do is align himself with a team of people that he's comfortable with. Obviously, he still has a passion to coach. That's pretty apparent. But get people that he's comfortable with, surround himself with those people, and then make the play. Because I think that could really work well. And I've told you, I was really impressed with his coaching and his work habits as far as being a coach. Really, really impressed with how hard he worked at it.
Sometimes, I mean, I always said, I mean, the coaching part of my life was I had to enjoy myself. And I didn't have much fun. Then I decided it was time for me to move on.
All right, that's one of the stories. There weren't a whole lot because the bombshell, of course, was Subban and Weber. One of the stories that happened while we were both away, Patrick was suddenly leaving his job, and at the, you know, the lateness of it really put them in a tough spot. What did you make of it and how it went down?
Well, I don't think they were that surprised in Colorado. You started hearing different things about this. Even going back to when they played the Coors Stadium Series game between Detroit and Colorado, I was there to do that at the baseball stadium at Coors Field. There were a lot of rumors. Now, I'm not saying it was with the media. It was with people that were hockey people. There was speculation that if it didn't go well, maybe Patrick would leave. Then at the end of the year, there was the same speculation. So I think, well, people that I know anyways, they weren't that taken off guard by it, Mitch. I'm not sure Joe Sakic was taken off guard by it either. I really don't think he was.
Obviously, we had different philosophy, and sometimes it's better that way. I mean, and the day that I called Joe, I mean, we talked for about 10, 15 minutes about anything, and I mentioned to him that I was going to come back next year, and he offered me to think about it, but I said my decision was made, and I had plenty of time to think about it.
So, what do you think ultimately that he was that his power grip was being loosened considerably as a result of recent moves that they were making, or what?
I think he wanted to have a certain style of team. I think he wanted to have certain styles of players brought into the team that he was comfortable coaching. And it didn't work out the way that he wanted. He wasn't getting those players. He wasn't having that same kind of feedback that maybe he thought he should have had. So this happens more than you think. It's just that, you know, most coaches in the league aren't Hockey Hall of Famers that maybe were the best player to ever play their position. That's just not the way it works. But he's got a different kind of a situation to deal with than most guys that coach in the league.
Also tough to really make a forceful case when you've finished out of the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Well, I don't know of one coach in the league that was getting them into the playoffs. His first year he got them in, and obviously a major upset playing Minnesota and losing a game 7 on home ice. And a big reason why that happened was the play of Zach Parise in that game 7. But, you know, the fact he got them into the playoffs once, I think, was pretty darn strong. Mitch, to be perfectly fair, not a great team.
No, the blue line's an obvious issue.
Very, very problematic. Exactly.
So when you're talking about style of player, Pierre, in Colorado, you know, we heard all those rumors with Matt Duchene during the course of the season. There had been rumors with Tyson Barry in the off season. Do you think Patrick Waugh was hoping for more change on that roster instead of just staying pat?
Yeah, I think he probably was, and I think he probably wanted to have more of a physical type of a team, a bigger presence kind of a team. The teams that he was part of in Montreal that won, and I think you guys are pretty aware of it, you know, they were bigger people. They had a certain identity, especially the 86 team. Knuckles can speak about that. You know, obviously Patrick's rookie year, and the 93 team definitely had an identity. So those are important things. I think if you've tasted it, it's like me. I know how our 91 and 92 Penguin teams were built, and that's how I would want to put a team together. The same way we put those teams together, that's my reference point to winning, and I think it's the same thing for Patty.
I've heard it said that the Avalanche not making a bid for Radulov or not getting him was part of
it's not true. No? It's not true. We had conversation over Radulov, but I mean, like we had different conversation of other players. I mean, at the end of the day, Joe was the final say, and I always respect his decision. Would I love to see Radu play for the Avalanche? Yes, because I think Radu is a really good player. He's a special player, but no.
And of course, Patrick, talking about a player who put up incredible numbers playing for him in Quebec City.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct.
All right. Oh, we're just getting a word courtesy of John Liu at TSN, Pierre. Videotron Center staff has kicked out the media covering Team North America. John says an NHL city wouldn't pull that stunt.
Todd McClellan and the boys must be running power play or something. I'm going to send them a text and tell them to chill out a little.
All right, so that was an impressive display of raw skill. But seriously, as they go deeper into the tournament, what would be their biggest concern?
I just think not being overwhelmed by the older, more mature players dealing with the pressure, especially when you play against Canada. The Canadian team, I know Mike's got to say certain things, Babcock. The Canadian team is insanely good. Maybe one of the best teams ever iced for international play. But I would say that, just being overmatched in terms of nonchalance and youth versus, veteran presence that really understands how to win.
But he built a team, as I said on TSN today, to punch Canada in the mouth in their own rink.
That is Pierre LeBrun with us yesterday on Dean Lombardi and John Tortorella and Team USA's missive in this tournament.
You know what? It'll be very interesting to see how their team plays, because it's a completely different type of team.
You're starting to break up, Pierre. It's amazing we got 13 minutes out of them. Are you still there? Yeah, that we had an issue with Pierre on a cell phone in Boston just before he jumped on the air, and it sounded so clean, but we appear to have lost him. Here's the entire, in case you missed Pierre LeBrun yesterday on that Team USA.
But he built a team, as I said on TSN today, to punch Canada in the mouth in their own rink. And I don't know if that works anymore. I think it's the most skill that wins these tournaments, in my opinion. But, this is tapping into, I know Dean Lombardi spent a lot of time in preparation for this tournament talking to members of the 96 USA team that beat Canada famously at the Old Molson Center and tried to find some things that really united that team, and he tried to find that recipe here with this team.
I think you're setting the tone for the tournament right now. I think we're trying to find out where we're at. They're trying to find out where they're at. There's obviously going to be some kinks that need to be worked out on both sides, but I think once you get into the game, it's going to be just as competitive as any other.
Yeah, I know, excited. It's obviously both teams and a lot of players haven't played for a long time, so it's going to be exciting to get that first exhibition game under you and feel the puck a little bit, get some bumps in there, and start the tournament off.
Joe Thornton, Alex Pietrangelo, and again the full clip from Pierre LeBrun on Team USA. Dean Lombardi, I think we have Pierre McGuire back with us. Pierre. Hello, Pierre? I thought we had... Hello?
Mitch, I'm here.
Yeah, okay, we got you. Don't move.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm parked in the side of the road.
Where is he? Where is Pierre?
I'm in Boston.
Yeah, I know, but Boston is, it's not a huge city.
Well,
but...
I'm just leaving Belmont, where Ryan goes to school, and I'm driving to Winchester.
Oh, I see. Okay. So LeBrun was talking specifically about Dean Lombardi spending some time talking to the guys who put together the 96 team for that cup, the World Cup, when the Molson Center first opened, and that was a big, strong, physical team that won the tournament and beat Canada.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy named was pretty good at that tournament, wasn't he?
Yeah. Why don't we let Pierre... concentrate on the drive. No, we can't. We can't hear you. The only time we hear you is when we're about to cut you down.
Hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But
can you hear me now?
Yeah. But the okay, more you talk, the less we hear.
Well, I'm not moved.
Yeah, I know. It's just wires, right? It's cell towers. That's the way it works.
Anyway, Richter was really good in that 96 thing. I think everybody would agree. And there are some other players who are really on top of their game. I don't. American goaltenders are good. I just don't know about the offensive firepower for this group. I really don't. I don't know how they match up. But I think a bunch that is bang on. They built this team to have a certain identity. They want to be more of a smash-mouth, mean-spirited, physical team, not playing with Olympic rules or international rules, NHL rules. So we'll see how it plays out.
All right, and if you're the Montreal Canadiens, and this is Carey Price's first meaningful action against quality players since late November, what would you expect? What are you antsy at all?
Just don't get hurt. Handle the puck. Feel your way through. He'll be fine eventually. But I just don't want him to get hurt in this thing. I really don't. That's my biggest fear. I have no other fear. I know he can stop the puck. I know he can handle the puck. I know he can skate. Just don't get hurt.
Have a great weekend, Pierre. Thanks so much. We'll do it again on Monday.
And we won't have these problems anymore. I'm figuring out this drive, so everything will be good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Everything I don't want people thinking out there, I want them playing. And so we got to go over and over our structure so that happens over time. But in the meantime, let your skill set come out and play within the structure of the team.
There it is. Structure and creativity right there. Just what Knuckles was talking about earlier, right? Like, what if he doesn't look good?
Well, that's okay.
That's a free tournament.
Come on.
I don't think that's a possibility whatsoever.
If he walks out of the arena,
hey, here's
it's a
the deal.
Good day.
Yeah.
Without a limp.
Hey, here's the deal. As long as he's not structured tonight, he's creative. That's all I care.
Friday Scrum Edition of Habs Lunch back today as well. And you can hear it in its entirety between 6 and 7 right here on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Going to give you an opportunity to win tickets to a major charity concert event on the 17th at the Bell Center, headed up by Usher and the Roots. Next.